CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Conrad Black, the distinguished biographer from Canada, writing at the National Post and also at American Greatness, observing how Donald Trump draws a crowd, especially a media crowd. But we begin in Canada because I learned from Conrad in his most recent post summarizing some of the creative peculiarities of our Canadian brothers and sisters. One of them is they're not vaccinated. I mean, I'm astonished, Conrad, to learn the facts here about an educated, sophisticated culture that has the good sense to live in a beautiful, resource-rich land. The rest of North America, except for the U.S. and Mexico, is not vaccinated. Is there an explanation from Ottawa? Is there an explanation from the public about why not? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, not an adequate one. And they see, the government up to now has been, federal government has been celebrating the low fatality rate. We do have a low rate of death. So in that sense, their performance has been good, but they've gone overboard on the shutdown. But they completely bungled the acquisition of viruses. And this and previous governments allowed our local pharmaceutical industry to become dependent altogether on foreign sources. And then they misjudged things and bought the wrong viruses, vaccines, I should say. And it was a straight mismanagement issue. And they have been touting the very admirable record of the low fatality rate that we have compared to the United States and other countries. But now, you know, they really are being caught out because people watch on television and see, Britain is wide open now and they've reached herd immunity. Israel has reached herd immunity. The United States is getting close and opening up in large parts of the country. And we're still in lockdown up here. And the vaccine, I mean, I'm in the older group. So I had my first shot about 6 or 8 weeks ago, but I have to wait another 6 weeks to get my second shot. And my sons live in Canada and they're in their 30s and they haven't been vaccinated at all yet.
Here's what's astonishing. Europe is opening for summer tourism. Everybody is lining up on the airplanes, in the airplanes to go back to the museums of Italy or France. All of this now, Canada certainly knows this. What is the plan to keep you locked up forever? That you're never allowed to go out and play again?
No, I think they're going to yield to pressure, and I mean they're making slightly purposeful noises about buying large quantities of vaccine And Canadians are long-suffering and have put up with a lot of incompetent government. But even this regime knows that if this goes on much longer, while they're telling people to stay shut down, when they sit in their homes and turn on their television sets and see every other country in the world back to normal, that doesn't do wonders for your life expectancy as a political office holder in any democracy. So there's nothing in my experience like the prospect of being thrown out of office to get the people who govern us to do what they should have done in the first place.
Yes, that describes California as well as Canada. A detail here, it is not possible. I reject the idea that the reason Canada is not getting vaccinated is because it's a product of the Trump administration. But there are moments I begin to think that Donald Trump is as magical in Canada as he is in the United States. He draws a crowd. You mention his name, the media shows up, the cameras show up, the columnists start preaching to us again. You report an incident. Suzanne Rogers, part of the Rogers Group of Media Communications and Sports Assets in Canada, very prominent. She attended a dinner at Mar-a-Lago, had a couple of selfies taken with the former president. And what happened? Was she not permitted to come back to Canada? What have they done?
No. There was no official thing. There was criticism when she put these selfies up on her website, and then there was criticism that she shouldn't be hobnobbing with this person. You see, the problem Trump has in Canada, as he does in other foreign countries, is people see the garish and sometimes bumptious side of him, sort of a bit of a caricature of that old image of the you know, the loud American tourist or the so-called ugly American, and they don't see the good part of it. And Canadians don't particularly relate any more than, say, the French do to MAGA, to making America great. I mean, Americans, whether they like Trump or not, they can see the positive things that he did for the United States. You know, the end of virtually the end of illegal immigration in the South, the end of unemployment for a time. I mean, there was a lot of progress.
The vaccine.
Yeah,
comrade.
Vaccine.
Yes,
exactly. But foreigners don't see that. They just see the noisy and obnoxious side of Trump, and not the statesmanlike side of him. So it, you know, you get a lot of people saying, "Well, what's she doing? This wealthy, the member of a very wealthy family. What are they doing?" Jetting down to Palm Beach and having dinner with Trump at Mar-a-Lago when the rest of us are in lockdown here. And I mean, it's just sort of silly, stupid things. But I suppose she shouldn't have put it up as prominently as she did on the Internet. But anyway, it's gone now. No one would remember it, and it had no significance. But you're right. It shows the quick fuse you always get with Trump. People, you know, he is a very controversial person, and people either like him or dislike him.
But we have another precedent now that we've moved on, all of us. Now, Donald Trump is a prominent member of the Republican Party. That is the strangest detail here when we see the controversies around him. For example, Liz Cheney, you've written about her in American Greatness. Opposing the former president of your party is never wise. That's not good politics. It's very,
right.
It's very peculiar that there should be an objection by the media that the Republican Party isn't allowed to be loyal to a former president who delivered on policies that are consistent with the party now. They're not in any fashion regarded or rejected as something inferior. Donald Trump's policies are in place.
But not, if I may, John, not just that. Liz Cheney has said, like Asa Hutchinson, the governor of Arkansas said, and then a few other Republicans, that it was an absolutely unquestionable election. There's no possible argument about the fairness of the outcome. And they have implied that Trump did, in fact, try to incite an insurrection. And Liz Cheney was one of those who voted to impeach him and for doing that. Now, that's not just criticizing a former president. That is saying that all of the allegations, not the spurious ones, not the frivolous ones that were thrown out of court, but all those that the court system, the judiciary, never adjudicated, such as the Texas Attorney General, supported by 18 other states, saying that several of the swing states failed in their constitutional duty to assure a fair outcome in the election with results for the whole country as a result of it. Only 42,000 votes changed in Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, and Trump would have won in the Electoral College. And it is an outrage, and nothing less than that, for Liz Cheney or Hutchison or any other Republican office holder to say that is nonsense. There's nothing to it. You can say it isn't proved, which is true. You can say that we have a president now. There's no doubt whether we like it or not. That's who it is, and we've got to get on with it. Nothing wrong with that. But to say that there is not an argument to be made that it's a questionable result, that is the big lie. The big lie isn't Trump saying the election was stolen. The big lie is saying there's nothing to question in it. It's been entirely reviewed by the judiciary, which it hasn't. The judiciary from the Supremes down abdicated on all the lawsuits that went to the integrity of the election rather than, one guy claiming he was unfairly disqualified or something. And then, as I said, the second part of it is you are accusing, as Cheney has done, the former president of participating in the incitement of an insurrection. Well, you know, an insurrection is when you take over the armed forces. There are tanks on the White House lawn and on the Capitol. You round up all the legislators, you take over the media outlets, and you put the whole country under martial law. These banana republics that have insurrections, that's what happens. And here we have the president, as he then was, saying to his followers, who were justly annoyed about a questionable election result, continue your demonstration down at the Capitol, but demonstrate peacefully and patriotically. If that is an incitement of an insurrection, then I'm a banana. I mean, this is just nonsense. I mean, what these people are doing is translating their dislike of Trump for various reasons into a false statement about recent history.
Conrad Black, a distinguished biographer writing at the National Post, Canada Vaccinate, a National Post, and at American Greatness about the excitement that remains 7 months after the election for the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.